This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Immigration policy is fairly high on the Trump administration's priorities list. A deal on DACA remains to be done, but the other big story this week concerned a change that will affect 200,000 people living in America who are from El Salvador. The Department of Homeland Security canceled their Temporary Protected Status, or TPS. That status had been granted to spare Salvadorans from immigration enforcement after earthquakes hit their country back in 2001. Advocates call the move one more worrisome immigration policy from the Trump administration. Haitians and Nicaraguans have also lost TPS. Others say it was inevitable. The T, after all, does stand for temporary. Armando Truhl covers immigration for WAMU, our colleague here, and he joins us in studio now. Armando, welcome back to 1A.
It's good to be here again.
Who made the call at DHS about TPS, and what was the rationale?
Well, the DHS secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen, is the one who the buck stops at her desk, and so she made that call. But I think when you interviewed the former secretary, John Kelly, who is now President Trump's chief of staff, he pretty much told you that that was going to happen, that temporary stands for temporary, and that they were going to review the status for a lot of different countries, and that they would most likely do away with them. And if Congress wants a permanent solution for the 200,000 Salvadorans, the 50,000 Hondurans, the Haitians, that Congress would have to deal with it.
Yeah, John Kelly did kind of telegraph this to us last year, well in advance of this decision, and you can hear that conversation on our website, the1a.org. Can you remind us, Armando, of what the administration's kind of overall thought process was for why TPS needed to be reviewed and in some cases revoked?
Well, I think that the overarching position of the Trump administration on immigration is that it needs to be curbed, both legal and undocumented immigration. They want to do away with a lot of different things, such as family-based immigration. So really anything that they felt they could take a whack at and get rid of was fair game. And TPS, certainly, because it was supposed to be a temporary program, renewable every 18 months, when you had countries, recipients from those countries that have been here for 16, 17 years, where certainly the natural disaster that prompted the TPS granting had gone away, they felt that that was a fair game to do away with, without considering a lot of other factors.
We're speaking to WAMU's Armando Truhl about the decision by the Department of Homeland Security to revoke temporary protected status for Salvadorans in the United States. We're only discussing this for this first segment of the program, so if you have questions or thoughts about this, or if you are seeing this play out among Salvadorans where you live, we would love to hear from you. Perhaps you are Salvadoran and you are affected by this, or family members are. What are you thinking and feeling and doing right now in light of this decision? Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Now, the Associated Press yesterday captured some of the feelings and reactions of Salvadorans when they learned that TPS was being revoked. Here is a clip from a woman named Patricia Merlos, who spoke to the AP.
It's a lot of emotions. It's first of all, what's going to happen to my job, because that's, you know, my form of income. I've already gotten, you know, a couple of notifications from my employer saying, you know, your permit's about to expire, we just need a new copy. I'm also thinking about my parents and what's going to happen to them, because they're also under this status, and a lot of family members that are affected by this. So it's really heartbreaking, to say the least. You'd be surprised at the amount of people that are actually under this permit, and it's people like you and me who, you know, sit next to you, have families just like you, have dreams just like you.
That's Patricia Merlos, or perhaps Patricia Merlos, speaking to the Associated Press about the impact of this on Salvadorans. Armando Truhl, what about that? She was making the point that it's people like you and me who sit next to you, but I would get the sense that most Americans have a more visceral sense of immigration policy toward Mexico, let's say, than toward El Salvador. Can you give us a sense of just how large an impact this particular TPS policy change might have on the nation overall?
On the nation overall, it's not going to have a large impact, but certainly on the 200,000 people who are affected, the 200,000 Salvadorans, plus the estimated 200,000 children who are born in the U.S. that they have, now we're talking about 500,000 people. And that population is distributed in about 5 or 6 major metropolitan areas: Los Angeles, the Houston area, D.C. We got almost 40,000 here in our region, plus their relatives, their children. So it could be as many as 100,000 people affected. So within those communities, you're going to have a lot of impact. Also Miami, Dallas, Boston, large urban areas with Central American populations and with Salvadoran populations. Then you've got the impact on the industries where a lot of these people work: construction, hospitality, and a story that I'm working on, which is kind of a story that nobody's focused on, is the community organizations that are serving Latinos in cities like ours have a lot of TPS workers. Just one organization here in our area with 600 employees, 120 of those social workers and medical healthcare workers are TPS status. So when an organization like that loses a fifth of its workers, who may now become part of the clients of that organization as opposed to people helping, that's an impact. And so when you start looking at that, there's a multiplying effect of negative impact with people that literally have been here legally, paying taxes, working, and are part of the fabric of the community because of how long they've been here. And speaking to them, they feel resentful to a certain degree as to why they're now going to be kicked out of a country that they felt welcomed in. And when people talk about a solution to their issues, you know, they see the people that are against the solution calling it amnesty. But then they point to people like Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who gets a pardon, and they say, well, he gets a pardon when he breaks the law. When we are asking for ways to adjust our status, people say it's amnesty.
It's worth also, you know, to that point, it's worth also reminding people that TPS for Salvadorans and Haitians and Nicaraguans and so on, it's granted because of an emergency or a disaster in
exactly.
their home countries. It's not that you arrived illegally, so we're going to look the other way. It's an earthquake struck, a hurricane struck, you're unsafe where you are. We're going to allow you to stay because your home country is basically not safe for you to return to.
And in many of those cases, the home country is still not safe, although not necessarily because of the initial natural disaster. You know, Haiti is an economic turmoil. El Salvador, a lot of violence, especially in the communities where those people would go. In fact, in El Salvador, the country is looking at this as a national crisis because these 200,000 Salvadorans that have been here working are sending back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in remittances that are then keeping up the Salvadoran economy. Those people, I've spoken to them, they are now saying, we're not sending any more money to El Salvador because we have to keep it here because in 18 months we have to decide what we're going to do.
You've traveled to El Salvador a number of times.
Absolutely.
How has the Salvadoran government responded to this? And is there anything that the Salvadoran government can do either to try to work with DHS or for Salvadorans who might have to come back to El Salvador?
Yeah, I think that right now in El Salvador, there is, like with many things, there's a big political discussion because the issue has been politicized. So everybody is finger pointing at each other, the different parties. They certainly understand that it's going to be very difficult to absorb 200,000 people if they come. Whether or not that happens is another question. But I think that the only avenue that the Salvadoran government has is to try to do something with Congress, which is what the administration has said anyway. If you want to fix this, it's going to have to be a legislative fix. It's going to have to be Congress. The problem is, I don't know how interested Congress would be in working on a TPS solution as opposed to DACA, right, which is a million people. And we've seen how hard it is for Congress to come up with a solution for the Dreamers. There's a million, and then there's widespread support for that. With TPS, there isn't as much. But I think if the Salvadoran government wants to do something about TPS, it really needs to start going after the congressional route.
Lydia tweeted, if you want to give people temporary protected status, then send them home, fine. But once you've allowed people to stay in your country for 10 plus years, it is immoral to suddenly uproot them. Temporary should mean 1 year or less, not decades. I know our time is short with you, Armando, but what happens now? We always get the question every time we talk about TPS about applying for citizenship. If you've been in this country this long and you haven't broken the law and you are otherwise a fine, upstanding citizen, you should be able to apply for citizenship. Before we have to go, it's not that simple. It's never that simple with TPS.
Not at all. In fact, with TPS, there is no way for a person to adjust their status the way they would like with a green card or anything else. They would essentially have to get an employer to back them, which in many cases is very difficult. And then there are visa limits, or they would have to marry a U.S. citizen, which for people that are married, obviously not. And of course, there's always the question of, is this marriage a marriage of convenience or is it a real marriage? And now any Salvadoran with TPS who gets married is going to be under a lot of scrutiny to see whether that is indeed the case. So no, the people who say they should have applied to become a citizen a long time ago, no. If they could have done it, they would have done it already.
That's WAMU's Armando Truhl. Armando, thanks for talking to us.
Good to be here.
Morning Edition reports tomorrow on one of the largest populations of Salvadorans in the country living in Long Island. You'll hear that tomorrow on NPR's Morning Edition. Up next, we head to Mexico for the story of a group of college students who mysteriously disappeared. To many people, they say the government is to blame. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.